You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the Gym Class here at KGYM, a Tuesday edition of the program. Great to have you aboard. Scott Unash with you from our studios. Buttons on the other side of the glass once again today. Mark Dukes from his back porch on the southwest side. He'll join us coming up here in just a little bit. Dick Simmons will join us. He is going to be the manager of the, I guess, new Division III National Wrestling Championships that will take place down at Extreme Arena in Coralville. We'll talk with Dick coming up here in just a little bit and find out how it all got started, his role, what it's going to look like, when it's going to be held, etc., etc. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. A lot of basketball to get to, high school basketball, of course, boys and girls to talk about. We've got college basketball to kick around. We've got a look at the new bracketology out from Joe Lunardi. Very interesting right there. And a heavenly night of college basketball is on tap in the Big Ten and around the country. If you'd like to comment on it, love to hear from you. 319-366-1600. That is our text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. That's the phone line as well. Also, we want to thank you for listening in on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City once again today, as well as KGYM radio stream, your KGYM mobile app, or your smart speaker as well, as we join you on this sunny Tuesday afternoon, and probably very sunny on the back porch where Mark's at as well. Good afternoon.
You got it, Scott. Good afternoon to you guys and everyone out there. It's developed into another very newsy day. In addition to what you mentioned, we've got Fran McCaffrey and players speaking before Thursday's Nebraska game, and the Iowa women's program got a monumental gift from one of its alumni, and Big Ten wrestling pre-seeds for the tournament this weekend are out. Probably save that for Mark Ironside tomorrow, as we'll bring in Mark to preview that event, but yeah, very newsy day.
It is. One thing we'll say about the pre-seeds as far as the Big Tens are concerned, Spencer Lee is number one.
Huh. Yeah, and the number two seed from Nebraska was pinned by Spencer in 80 seconds.
Yeah, and that's the number two guy.
Yeah.
I guess we don't count our chickens, though, right, before they hatch? So
I don't think Spencer will.
Spencer will not, and so he will go at it. We'll talk to Mark Ironside about that coming up on the program on Wednesday. Speaking of head coach Fran McCaffrey of the Iowa men's basketball team, we're going to talk about what he had to say. And if you want to hear directly from the coach, you can do that coming up a little bit later on today with Todd and Alex as they check in with Fran McCaffrey and his news conferences. Coach's Cuts is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, online at ncsei.com. That's ncsei.com. And they will hear, they will have audio from Fran McCaffrey coming up from earlier on today. And Fran addressed the media after the big win in Columbus on Sunday, a little bit earlier today in Iowa City.
Yeah, he did. The bullet points that I would offer people are that Jack Nungy underwent surgery today, and Fran McCaffrey is hopeful that he can return by the summertime. Fran McCaffrey also said Josh Ugandale and Chris Murray, two freshmen, he think those two might be ready for some playing time. Austin Ash, the walk-on, our friend Kerry Ash's son, had a Zoom meeting today, basically because he's going to be honored on Senior Day this coming weekend. Austin said he could beat Jordan Bohannon in a three-point shooting contest. And Jordan said, I'm not surprised he said that. And then finally, Fran McCaffrey saying, it's a no-brainer that number 55, Luca Garza's jersey number, will be retired. Just a matter of when. And I noticed that's provoke some discussion on social networking about, oh, what about Roy Marble? And that's probably a discussion for another day, but it's a worthy one, I think. And we all have our opinions on Roy. He was a terrific player. He had some off-court issues, and perhaps that prevented him from getting that jersey retired. But, damn, he held the scoring record for 30-plus years. That's nothing to sneeze at. So, again, maybe a conversation for another day. That was Fran today.
That was Fran today. And again, we'll have coaches' cuts coming up a little bit later on with Todd and Alex. 319-366-1600 here at 10 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on the Gym Class on KGYM. And yeah, I don't think it's a real shock that Luca Garza and his number retirement are being talked about already. This was about the time when Megan Gustafson started to have that conversation surrounding her. And of course, her jersey now hanging above Carver Hawkeye Arena in the rafters, and as well it should. And I would imagine probably in about 4 years, we're going to have another discussion. Well, 3 years, because Caitlin Clark is probably going to have, unless there's something unfortunate happened, Caitlin Clark is well on her way to even eclipsing what Megan Gustafson did. So I guess that's good news. That's a great problem to have if you're the Iowa athletic department.
Yeah, might as well start making arrangements for Clark now, right?
Yeah.
As far as the men, there's Iowa men's basketball has 9 jersey numbers retired. About half of them played before you and I were born, Scott, on that great 56 and 55 teams. But includes BJ Armstrong, Ronnie Lester, Greg Stokes, Chris Street. I have mixed opinions about retiring jerseys, but maybe folks out there have strong opinions. I don't know.
319-366-1600. If you would like to weigh in. While we're talking basketball, let's go ahead and talk about the gift that was gifted and endowed to the Iowa women's basketball program today from a former player from the University of Iowa.
Yeah, that came out through the Iowa women's basketball department today, and Gary Barta, athletic director, Lisa Bluder, have made comments about this. Former player Sue Beckwith, who is a doctor and surgeon in West Des Moines, has endowed the Iowa women's basketball head coaching position to the tune of $7 million. And it's unheard of in the Big Ten. It's a first. Beckwith has been involved with raising funds for the department in the past, but this is the largest sum that has been donated to the university, at least on the women's side, for such the endowed chair, I guess, and quite a gift.
Quite a gift indeed, and puts a smile on the face of the Iowa women's basketball program and Lisa Bluder, and which is probably good as Lisa and the family were probably down in the dumps a little bit last night after Solon's loss with Son David and his final game for the Spartans. And, we'll see what this does. Maybe a little bit of a precedent setter as far as, you know, women's athletics, women's college basketball, whatever the case may be. But a very generous donation from an alum of the Iowa women's basketball program.
Yeah, quite generous, and it's going to go a long ways for not only the basketball program, but for the women's part of the athletic department. 1577 on our text line. Now, what's the difference between retiring a jersey and retiring a number? There seems to be a distinction in Iowa basketball. That is true. I don't have an answer to that. I think it's basically one and the same. But we know that Patrick McCaffrey asked the family of Bill Seberg, who's one of the 9 who has his number or jersey retired, number 22. Patrick asked permission to wear that number. So do you have a distinction, Scott? I'm not sure.
I do not, but here's the situation. And I think this is probably the best way to go about it, is the fact that if you do have a retired number, for example, 22, that Patrick wears, and it's a retired jersey, I think you need to go through the proper channels. I think you need to do it the correct way to honor that particular jersey, asking the family and asking everybody surrounding him to, if that was okay, I think was a very good move. I don't think you give it out on a yearly, you know, every 4-year basis, as far as a retired number is concerned, but, you know, just my opinion, I think that's the way I like to see it. There are numbers that, you know, you just shouldn't touch. And maybe Luka Garza's 55 is going to be one of those that you should just not touch. You know, the Yankees have put so many numbers into retirement that it's hard to, I mean, you're seeing the 74s and 75s on the pitching staff. I mean, it's, you know, whatever. Numbers are numbers. That's a big deal to some people out there. But I would like to see, in my opinion anyway, if you get permission and you know, you're a terrific player, then, yeah, go ahead and wear a retired number. But like I said, don't just give it out every cycle as far as, okay, you hand out jerseys like you're doing it, you know, in ninth grade in the basement of the gym. And you just don't hand out the 22 or whatever the case may be. 1775 is making an early call. Keegan Murray is going to end up being one of the best Hawkeyes ever, calling it early. That's from 1775 out there.
Mm.
I think Fran would love that if that came into being, no doubt. 319-366-1600. My jersey was never retired. Mark's, yours wasn't either in any sport, correct?
Well, retired to my drawer.
How about the rusty nail? Should we start retiring jerseys?
That reminds me, I got to pick up my ball and shoes out there.
Hey, you never know. You never know. We keep having injuries. You may be called back into duty. We'll see that.
Like Brett Favre or what?
Well, you never know. You're not playing for anybody else, though. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. By the way, talking about Bowling Night in America, here are the latest stories from the lanes each week on Wednesdays and Thursdays. And it's brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. And, of course, more on that can be found at KGYMradio.com. 319-366-1600. Girls State Basketball going on today. Early this morning, the final Class 3A quarterfinal. It was Unity Christian out of Northwest Iowa beating Roland Story 70-42. That was a 3A game. Class 4A is underway. And in the first quarterfinal, Dubuque Wallert making their first appearance in a while at the Girls State Basketball Tournament, gave number one Glenwood a little tussle for about 2.5 quarters, but Glenwood eventually pulled away 79-57 as they knocked off Dubuque Wallert. And Glenwood will take on North Scott. North Scott beat Central DeWitt 59-45 in the second quarterfinal. That was a third meeting this year. They had split their first two between the MAC foes. And so it's North Scott and Glenwood in a semifinal. And right now they are just underway in the next 4A quarter between Ballard and Harlan. That'll be followed by Dallas Center Grimes and Bondurant Farrar coming up a little bit later on. And then the 2As will get underway. And let's see. There we go. I had to make sure I clicked on the right thing. Area teams going at it tonight. Maquoketa Valley and Rock Valley will go at it at 7 o'clock. And our best to Scott Monk and Maquoketa Valley. Same to Brian Wheatley and North Lynn, as North Lynn will take on Nottoway Valley tonight from Des Moines. That is the 9 o'clock late game coming up this evening. And then we start with 10 o'clock games tomorrow. And I think Jeff Linder and everybody is going to be happy about that. Best of luck to the Lynx tonight with our boys' basketball coverage. We just didn't have enough people and enough equipment to do three games. So we've got boys' basketball 4A substates coming your way tonight for you here on KGYM. 6:45 will be the pregame times on 107.5 FM, the Jim OT app and stream. It will be Cedar Rapids, Washington, trying to pull off the stunner of all stunners. As the Warriors will take on unbeaten number one Cedar Falls tonight. We'll be up at the Fred J. Miller Gymnasium in Waterloo East for that one. And on 106.3 FM tonight, beginning at 6:45, it'll be Iowa City West taking on number three Pleasant Valley over at Bettendorf coming up tonight. By the way, if the Northland girls win, they will move on to a Friday morning game, possibly against Maquoketa Valley, and that would be their third game this year. We would have that for you on KGYM. And so best of luck to both Northland and Maquoketa Valley coming up tonight.
Yes, indeed. On the subject of retired jerseys / numbers, David and Hudson wondering how Joe Wieskamp got to wear BJ's number 10, BJ Armstrong, that is. And I did a little research on this, that retired numbers, retired by the University of Iowa, numbers 9. But in more than one designation, it says B.J. Armstrong's jersey was retired. So that tells me perhaps not his number.
Correct.
It was his jersey. Yeah.
And that's what I was kind of talking about. That's what I was kind of talking about earlier, Mark. I kind of would like to see, I guess, see that a little bit more. As far, and then again, you got to designate between, okay, number or jersey. And there's a gray area there. There's no right or wrong answer as far as this is concerned. And I think it's just your personal preference out there. But also getting permission to do that. And yes, BJ's 10 is still eligible as far as the Iowa rotation of numbers is concerned. There you go.
That is correct.
Did that make any sense to anyone out there? Buttons, that makes sense. Buttons is saying yes, that made sense. Thank you. Appreciate it. Team player, got my back. 64-29. Yeah, let's kick this around a couple of minutes because this broke yesterday and a little bit more talk about it today as far as high school ranks are concerned. 64-29 asks, any thoughts of the possible split of the CIML? If it happens, it may be the best for all involved. This has been rumored for as long as the CIML turned into an 18-game league. The Central Iowa Metro League is the league in high school sports in Iowa, which includes the Des Moines public schools, the Des Moines suburban schools, and many of the larger cities in the central part of the state. It is an enormous conference. It goes from Mason City near Minnesota all the way down to Ottumwa toward Missouri. Quite frankly, they've never got along, to be honest with you. To be brutally and perfectly honest with you, they've never gotten along. And there was all kinds of rumors to the fact over the last handful of years that they were going to dissolve, people were going to break off, et cetera, et cetera. Latest chapter came yesterday when Marshalltown said that they are going to be meeting. That was yesterday. And they are going to ask not only themselves, but ask others, such as Mason City, Fort Dodge. I think Ames was included in there, Ottumwa, the Des Moines public schools, to form their own conference for many reasons. Number one, as far as more of playing a level playing field, if you will, Mark, and you know, and I know, and most people that follow high school sports know that over the last 10 to 20 years, it has become a very uneven playing field across the landscape of high school sports. You have your haves and you have your have-nots, basically. And I think finally we're going to see something happen as far as a new conference coming up. We could see the reincarnation of the old Big Eight in some fashion. Who knows? There's also been talk maybe of certain other schools coming to join them. There's been talk of Ottumwa possibly joining the Southeast Conference with a little Hawkeye, like Indianola did a couple years ago. There's just a lot of things on the table right now. There's a lot of discussion, but for the first time since these rumors have started, there are formal discussions now, and I think you are going to see some of the schools break away.
As it should be, because as you mentioned, in the last 10 to 20 years, the CIML has become a suburban-dominated league with the West Des Moines Valley, West Des Moines Dowling, the emergence of Waukee, the opening of a second Waukee high school this coming fall, Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial and Johnston, right on down the line. You don't see Des Moines Lincoln winning state titles or even conference titles. You don't see Ottumwa or Mason City often win titles unless it's in, you know, maybe baseball or swimming, what have you. But this is too big a league and too much disparity in my mind. And you mentioned the old Big Eight. That was a quality league. And it was before the development of a lot of the suburban schools in central Iowa. Not only can't Marshalltown and Ottumwa and Mason City compete, but the Des Moines Public Schools can't compete in many, if not all, sports with the suburban schools. So in my mind, there needs to be a suburban league and maybe the return of the Big Eight.
We'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. No, David and Hudson, I didn't say anything about high school recruiting. but reading some of the things that have been written in the Des Moines Register, et cetera, and, you know, some of the ADs have said, you know, there is more of a budget for some of the suburban schools in central Iowa than there are in the American Rivers Conference Division III schools, to be quite honest with you, and better, and probably better facilities, to be honest with you. And that's not a put down to, you know, the American River Conference member schools. That's just the way it is. I mean, that's just the time and that we live in right now. So I think something is going to happen, and we'll see what it's called, what, how it plays out, etc. Dick Simmons going to join us. We already got a question ready to go for Dick Simmons here in just a little bit at 319-366-1600. We got great college basketball tonight as well. We want to get to that after we talk a little collegiate wrestling coming up, as the Big Ten latest bracketology is out. You got a great Big 12 game. Joe Lenardi's latest bracketology, Iowa moves up to the 2 line right now as far as his region 1. Is concerned. And how about this for the last four in? Drake is in there. Seton Hall, Xavier, and Georgia Tech. First four out, Mark. The first three, Michigan State, Duke, and Indiana.
Well, all three of those teams in action tonight, trying to save their seasons, if not their head coaches' jobs. So, aside from Duke, I'm talking about...
Well, and Michigan Indiana. State.
Not Michigan State either, but Indiana. I know Minnesota scribes are saying maybe Rick Pitino's last days are coming. But, yeah, three mighty good and impactful Big Ten games tonight. And then you have Baylor and West Virginia playing. It's a very, very important night. A lot of Iowa fans are going to have eyes on all, if most, if not all, those games.
No doubt. And we're going to talk about those coming up here in just a little bit. But we're going to take a break, come back, and we are going to talk some college wrestling as Dick Simmons is going to join us. We're going to talk about the Division III National Championship, the redo 2.0, or maybe 1.0, and we'll see. But we'll talk with Dick Simmons about that when we come back. You're listening to The Gym Class right here for a Tuesday on KGYM. Thanks for joining us. Back with more after this.
Give your bathroom a makeover and save 11% on everything. Now at Menards. Add the finishing touch to your bathroom project with towel bars, paper holders, robe hooks, and grab bars from Delta. With over 22 collections to choose from, find something to complement any decor. Best of all, they're all 11% off. Good through March 6th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards. One of the things that's great about betting on basketball is always finding new player props or game props that you like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. It's called a same game parlay bet, and you can only find them on FanDuel. Same game parlay bets allow you to combine many NBA market options such as player point totals, rebounds, assists, player props, as well as more traditional markets like money lines, over-unders, and point spreads. So you can root your favorite players on, put a small bet down with a chance to win big. And right now, new and existing users can get up to $25 back in site credit each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same game parlay insurance. You heard that right, every day. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today to try a same game parlay and use promo code KUHN at sign up. That's promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
I'm Governor Kim Reynolds. COVID-19 isn't bigger than Iowans' resolve to overcome it. Together, we can stop the spread of the virus and get life back to normal by taking simple steps to protect ourselves and others. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, stay home if you're sick, get tested, and isolate from others if you have the virus, and get a flu shot to prevent further illness. Doing these things will protect you and those most at risk. Let's step up and stop the spread together.
Sponsored by the State of Iowa and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome back. 3:31, gym class for a Tuesday here on KGYM. Thank you for joining us as we've got basketball coming up for you later on. We've got Iowa State at 5:30 this afternoon on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. Iowa State taking on the Texas Longhorns. A big game for Shaka Smart and Texas. And, of course, Iowa State trying to get off the schneid. And the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn will remain from 5:30 until 6 on 106.3 FM for you, as well as, well, no, 106.3 FM. Also, we've got high school basketball substate finals in 4A boys coming up tonight. It'll be Wash taking on Cedar Falls up in Waterloo. And it will be Liberty taking on Pleasant Valley over at Bettendorf. Both those games at 6:45. The Wash game on 107.5 FM and 106.3 FM for the Liberty Bolt game. We'll also keep tabs on Kennedy and Johnston as well tonight. And then Northland at 9 o'clock. Best of luck to the Lynx. If they win, we'll have their semifinal game coming up on Friday. There will be a test later. Do you have all this up? I know you do at KGYMradio.com. Thank you. And people that have been asking about the replays of the games, we'll get those up as soon as humanly possible coming up for you. That is code for when Scott has a brief free moment. You like that, Mark?
It may be a little while.
Well, I got him through the weekend, I think. So we didn't get this week yet, but we'll get there. Coming up in a couple of weeks, very happy to say this, and that is the fact that we are going to have a Division III National Wrestling Tournament. Of course, we were all very saddened when the NCAA canceled the edition that they were going to sponsor, and then a lot of folks stepped up, and that includes our next guest, Dick Simmons, who's going to be helping out once again as far as the Division III National Wrestling Championship is concerned, which will be coming to Eastern Iowa and Coralville here in just a little bit. But Dick joins us this afternoon, and I know ready to go for his Mount Vernon Mustangs and the boys' basketball team tonight as well. They, you know, the other sport during winter, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, Coach Tim's Mustang, you know, Ed and I worked together at Cornell for a few years, and I always enjoy following Ed's and the Mustang and Ed's teams. Yeah.
Indeed.
Dick, I want to go back to the announcement by the NCAA that Division III tournament was going to be canceled in addition to other Division III competitions in the winter. And you've been heavily involved, chairman of the committee, wrestling in the past. The thing I thought about, Dick, was that the NCAA queried the Division III schools asking for who's going to compete, who's not, and then established thresholds. For many sports, it was 60%. For wrestling, it was 70%. And wrestling didn't meet that threshold. What about your reaction to all that?
You know, well, disappointed for the student-athletes and the coaches, without a doubt. Not knowing the specifics of why the NCAA set those percentage parameters, I'm not sure. You know, a lot of things out there. The NCAA didn't set it. It's the government's committee made up of college presidents and university presidents and athletic directors and administrators. I just never really. I'll be truthful. I haven't had time to look in to see why those percentage numbers were set. But when it happened, just severely, you know, heartbroken for the student athletes, because I sat in that U.S. Cellular Center arena last year on that Thursday in March when the word came down that everything was canceled, and basically we were told to get the student athletes home as soon as we could, and to see the looks in their face and all the broken hearts. I felt for those kids. I believe for their mental health of a young people, they just need this competition. And that's why I'm excited that we were able to get the NWCAA Division III championships in the area and give these Division III student athletes the opportunity to compete, to finish out a year, to have some closer to their year this year.
Well, with that being said, Dick, how did this all get started? And was it just one entity? Was it just one person? Was it a couple of people? And then how did they get you involved?
Well, the Dave Kimmy, who's part of the executive director leadership position for the National Wrestling Coaches Association, he reached out to me mid-January saying, you know, if this would happen, we got to host a championship someplace at NWCA. Could we see your budget of what you guys do for the Division III championships that we're going to have in Cedar Rapids? I'm like, sure. And talking back and forth, and I was like, well, I'm pretty sure I can get you the facility. And I pushed really, really hard to get it at the U.S. Cellular Center. And so it came down to bids between the Extreme Arena and the U.S. Cellular Center, and it went down to the Extreme Arena facility. But, you know, it was just some conversations of talking, and then when I reached out to them and said, hey, we can have it here. We can find a place for it. It kind of just – that led into, okay, I was interested. The Midwest has more schools – sponsoring and competing this year in wrestling than really out east. And then when it was kind of found out that the Wisconsin League schools wouldn't be able to attend because with their administrative decisions that put lacrosse out, because lacrosse was going to host Division III championships this March. And, you know, I feel terrible for that staff, just kind of going back that, you know, I know how much work it takes to put on a championship and all the work you do start 12, 14 months before. And to have it, find out you can't have it there, I feel bad for those crew. But it just happened that the dominoes just fell in place, and we were able to get it down into Colville, and we're excited for the opportunity.
Dick, there will be no team race. I counted 34 schools that are going to be represented at the championships, and four of the top 10 ranked teams are not going to be there. You mentioned the Wisconsin schools in particular. Is that the reason there will be no team competition?
Yeah, my understanding that was a decision made by the NWCA Division III leadership group, which is made up of a head wrestling coach from one of each of the six regionals. And it was just decided that since there's no, you know, not all the teams could be there, they just weren't going to do the team championship. But they still wanted to do, they're still going to do the All-Americans and national champ individuals. So each individual, the champions will be the NWCA champion, and the eight final wrestlers in each weight class will be the All-Americans.
Awesome. That'll be great to see. And I do have a question for you from the text line, Dick, 1728, asking, when will the brackets be released?
Brackets, they are seeding the tournament tomorrow, and that's Wednesday. I'm thinking Wednesday night, Thursday, the brackets should be released. I'm not 100% on that. I'm still waiting to hear back from the leadership group, but I would say Wednesday night or Thursday because, like I said, they're doing the seeding tomorrow. And then, you know, because the one big thing through the whole thing has been our COVID testing and COVID protocols and program. And you know, so teams will have till the 10th to replace a wrestler. But I think brackets should be out here by the end of the week.
Dick, this costs money. And I know it's in the six figures. You've got some title sponsors, presenting sponsors and whatnot. Is there an opportunity for anyone out there to go ahead and make a donation or help in that regard?
There is. To start with, yes. It's Mike Moyer, the CEO of the National Wrestling Coaches Association, has done a tremendous job fundraising for this, and it's a six-figure number to raise money for this. Individuals, there is a crowdfunding page. On top of my head, I'm sorry, I don't have that, but I can get it and send it to you. Maybe you could put it on a link or something. But there is a way for individuals to go out and make individual donations to it, because it's, you know, by the time you rent the facility and you bring in 13 officials, give them their travel expenses, you know, and for the hospitality rooms, the food, all the rentals of clocks and stuff, it's an expensive endeavor.
It is. And, you know, it's just not something that was done off the cuff. And like you said, there had to be a lot of thought that went into this thing. And, you know, it comes down to the bottom line, and that is the fact we just couldn't have 2 years back-to-back without a national championship for the kids, for the sport, just for everybody involved. And I think that was the bottom line of the whole situation.
Yeah, that's 100% true. You know, and I'll be truthful. When they selected Coralville, I wasn't going to have it be part of it because I'm very loyal to Cedar Rapids and the relationships I built there. And then the NWCA reached out to me and said, "Hey, we really need you to run this for us. We understand it's going to be in Coralville and your loyalties to Cedar Rapids." And I took a day to think about it, and it just boiled down to one thing: the student athletes, and coaches' experience, and the families of those student athletes. It just My whole thought process was I have to do everything I can. We have to do everything we can to give these student athletes a championship. And we're going to give them a great championship. I have no doubt. You know, logistically, it's been a challenge. I'm not going to lie, because, you know, we're testing every wrestler or coach has to test at their campus before they leave. And then when they get to the Coralville, we're going to test them Thursday morning, Friday morning, and those remaining wrestlers Saturday morning. And it's just, a lot of logistics, but hey, it's worth it in the end to see the smiles in the wrestlers' faces, and truthfully, to hear the whistle blow at 11 or noon on Friday, and the wrestling started. That's the thing I'm looking for, just to hearing the whistles going.
Yeah, this competition coming up March 12 and 13 at the Extreme Arena in Coralville. And Dick, and you kind of touched on it a little bit, but I'm curious how, if you have any gauge on how the kids feel about this competition. They're not going to be an NCAA champion per se, but they could be a national champion. Our friend Dick Briggs' son, Kyle, ranked number one at 174, and so many others. In talking to perhaps your Cornell folks or anybody in particular, are they over the moon that they get a chance to compete, or is it, I don't know, it's not the same?
No, they're excited. I mean, I think after not having it last year, that just ups it even more for them. And anybody I've talked to, any head coach I've talked to in the area around Cedar Rapids, in the nation, Division III, their kids are all excited and pumped to be there just for the opportunity to be a national champion, be it this year the National Wrestling Coaches Association national champion. And it's still a championship, and they're looking forward to it. No doubt the kids are excited for this opportunity.
So what you talked about the athletes and what they have to go through as far as COVID protocol, et cetera. What about they're going to be fans allowed down at Coralville? Just let us know that part about the equation.
Yep. We are having fans in a limited capacity. We're a little bit under 1,000 tickets sold now. We're figuring we might have about 1,200 fans there. And, you know, they'll have to come in. Every fan will have to have their temperature checked when they get there. And if they have a temperature, they won't be allowed to come in. But if they get in, you know, they'll do the normal process through the arena. And there will be social distancing pods set up, and masks will be required at all times. And they'll have a great experience, the fans will. You know, the big thing with I've had people ask me, well, you're really going above and beyond in the COVID testing with the wrestlers and the fans. And we are, from the aspect of there's some college and university presidents and administrators who weren't comfortable sending and committing that the teams could come and their athletes could come until they knew what procedures we're doing. So we're doing everything we can so those schools feel comfortable, so they'll send their student athletes, and their student athletes will have the experience. So our thought is, hey, if we got to temp check the fans, and that's a little bit, puts the fans out a little bit, that's okay, because it's getting it done for the student athletes. So, and again, it all circles back to a great quality experience for the student athlete.
2022, are we back in Cedar Rapids, Dick?
Yes, we are. We return in 2022, and I think it's like 367 days. I've got my countdown calendar in my office at home, and it's already started. And, you know, because it's the whole funny thing of this is, you know, I've started in October of 2020, getting ready for the 2022 championships. And for this tournament next weekend, I've had 2.5 weeks to figure it out, so a little bit more crunch time. But yeah, we're excited to get everybody back to Cedar Rapids, to the venue there, the best venue for Division III wrestling, and just to get help the economy of Cedar Rapids and just get it back with an NCAA championship back.
Yeah, and again, it's too bad that not everybody can come this year, the Wisconsin schools in particular, but it's still going to be a lot of quality wrestling, and wrestling folks know that. They're going to see most of the top flight wrestlers in the country.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I know you mentioned some tickets have been sold, a few left. I know you can go to the Extreme Arena's website, get those, and you can find out all the answers to your questions as well, if you have them, as far as COVID protocol and things like that. But we're off to a better March this year than you had to suffer through last year, Dick.
Yeah, exactly. Because that was, there was no, I looked at the J.P. Williams, who's the NCAA tournament manager for Division III wrestling. When that all hit, and on Friday we met up again and turned down the arena, I just looked at him and go, there's no manual for this. And now we've seen, 12 months later, there's no manual for any of it. But yeah, much better. I'm a lot better mood this March than I was this time last year.
Very, very good indeed. And best of luck. You guys have done a great job, and I know you're going to run a great tournament, and we'll be all excited to see how it all plays out and crown some national champions. And they're still going to jump up, and they're going to run into their coach's arms, and it's going to be just like a regular Division III tournament.
Exactly. That's our goal, just have it feel like a normal wrestling championship.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Hey, Dick, appreciate talking with you, bud. Take care.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Appreciate your support for the sport of wrestling and all you do for Eastern Iowa Athletics.
All right. Thanks, Dick.
Thanks, guys.
Dick Simmons with this year's the Division III, we'll call them national championships. Will take place not this weekend, but the following weekend down in Coralville at the Extreme Arena. And again, you can go find out about tickets at the Extreme Arena website as well. I just checked that out a little bit ago, Mark. But that should be fun, and it will be great for the athletes that are there. I still feel for the athletes that are not going to be there, though.
This is going to be a tremendous event as long as Dick Simmons is involved. And I say that knowing he's a Cornelian. didn't get a chance to needle him about that. But in all honesty, this will be a very good event.
There could be a purple shirt in it for you.
Purple doesn't look good on me.
No, okay? No, no. Oh, man. 3:49. We will take a break, come back, and have more on the gym class. We'll talk some college basketball when we come back. More college basketball, because there's some great games coming up tonight. We'll get to it when we return. You're listening to the gym class right here on KGYM.
I'm Mary Neubauer with the Iowa Lottery. March is National Problem Gambling Awareness Month, when we highlight and remind Iowans that help is always available 24/7 here in our state.
And I'm Eric Preuss with the Iowa Department of Public Health. Visit yourlifeiowa.org to learn more about problem gambling or to start the conversation with someone who cares by clicking on live chat or by calling 1-800-BETS-OFF.
It's free and confidential.
And it's something you can do anytime.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, we are back with you on the gym class here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. We do appreciate it. We'll talk some more wrestling. Mark Ironside will join us tomorrow. We'll talk about the Big Tens coming up this weekend, hosted by Penn State. Wanted to get this out, Mark, to you and the rest of our folks out there, our listeners, but during our discussion about jersey retirements, I heard from fellow college man at Iowa during my time there, Jeff Moe, sent me an email. And just to share it with everybody out there, talking about jersey retirements. If Roy Marble's jersey was retired right after the season, we would have no discussion. Sets a bad precedent if a player has off-court issues. So thank you, Jeff, for the email, and thanks for the opinion. Do appreciate it. And he's right. If Roy had his jersey retired right after his career, there wouldn't be any second guessing or hand wringing from any number of people out there. There you go. And thank you, Jeff.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point by Jeff, and thank you for that. And Jeff Moe played with Roy Marble, knows him, quite well. So. Interesting observation from Jeff Moe.
Yeah, and we were talking about earlier on, of course, discussion about Luka Garza and the fact that Fran McCaffrey said today, and we'll hear from Fran during audio with Todd and Alex coming up in just a little bit, and talking about it's not a situation if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen as far as a retirement ceremony for Luka Garza's number 55, and we had a discussion about, once you retire a number, is it retired forever? Do you retire the jersey? Do you retire the jersey of that player? Do you retire the number in perpetuity? There's a lot of discussion about that out there. 9660, Mark says, go Rams.
I respect the Rams, I'll put it that way.
And I don't think he was talking about the former St. Louis or now Los Angeles Rams.
No, not at all.
Or the Glenwood Rams, or whatever Rams. I think he was going for the our beloved Rams over in Mount Vernon.
I got it.
I know. College basketball tonight. There are some honeys out there. West Virginia, coming up in about 10 minutes, will take on the Baylor Bears coming up. And that will be number 3 versus number 6 in the Big 12 Conference. That should be a very, very good game. A lot on the line as far as that one is concerned. Right now in the Big 12, Baylor at 10-1, West Virginia in second of West Virginia. Let's see, doing a little quick math here, depending on how many Baylor makes up. West Virginia can go 16-4 and then hope that Baylor loses a couple makeup games. But if Baylor wins, that pretty much gives them the number one seed as far as the conference tournament is concerned. And then you've got Big Ten play coming up tonight. Huge, huge basketball games. You start with, at 6 o'clock on ESPN, number 4 Illinois at number 2 Michigan, Mark. And Can the Wolverines do it again? Or Iowa fans, I got to think, are rooting for the Maize and Blue tonight, right?
Yeah, you would think so, because Illinois is on that one line in bracketology and ahead of Iowa in the Big Ten. So, yeah, extremely impactful for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
No doubt about that. And both these teams solidly, obviously, in the tournament. Not so for the 7 o'clock game on BTN. Indiana goes to East Lansing to take on Michigan State. Both those teams are on the outside looking in as far as Joe Lunardi is concerned. Is this maybe an elimination game, question mark, tonight?
I don't think so. I don't think either one of these teams are going to be in the tournament. I don't know that Archie Miller will have a job at Indiana after this season. You got to remember, Michigan State still has to play Michigan twice.
True. So. Yeah, very much so. If Indiana loses, they go under 500 at 12-13. Even with how good the Big Ten is this year, I don't think there's any way possible you can get into the national tournament with a losing overall record, not even in this COVID year of 2020-21. So we shall see. Michigan State's been playing better, and I guess it depends on what Indiana team shows up tonight. And then at 8 o'clock, ESPN2. Number 25, Wisconsin, at Mackey to take on number 23, Purdue. Mmm. Can Iowa
Wisconsin fans?
Can Iowa fans root for Wisconsin?
Yeah, Purdue tied with Iowa in the loss column. Iowa 12-6, Illinois 11-6. And obviously Iowa has a couple games to play. So that's, again, I use the word impactful, and it is very much so.
Big Ten standings, Michigan, of course, on top. 3-game lead over Illinois, 5-game lead over Iowa and Purdue. Ohio State has slipped to the 5 spot right now. Wisconsin all the way to 6. And here comes Maryland. And by the way, if anyone can answer Mark or I on what happened last night with the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, we will be an attentive audience.
I could not believe it. I texted you. I know you were at a game and giving you updates, and Nebraska, without its top scorer, waxes Rutgers by more than 20. That's a head-scratcher, and it caught Luca Garza's attention today, that's for sure.
Yeah, it did. No doubt about that. 319-366-1600, 96-63. Iowa wins next two, and we move up to 3. That from 96-63 out there. We'll see. Iowa next in action. They will take on the Huskers coming up on Thursday. Those pesky Huskers. You think that didn't catch the attention, like you said, of Iowa a little bit? May have been the best thing to happen. Who knows? High school basketball coming up tonight. 4A Substate Finals for you. And those will be at 645, 107.5 FM. It'll be Cedar Rapids, Washington at number 1 Cedar Falls. Up in Waterloo, I should say, against Cedar Falls. And it will be Iowa City Liberty taking on number 3 Pleasant Valley on 106.3 FM. Iowa State and Texas coming up at 5:30 with the pregame, 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. We'll have that for you. And, looking forward to that tomorrow. Girls State Basketball will be in Des Moines. The first game, 106.3 FM, 11:45. It'll be a 2A battle between West Branch and Grundy Center. Miles and Eric will have the call of that one. Then we come on at 1:45, myself and Steve Dozer, as it'll be Springville trying to knock off number 1 Algona Garrigan in Class 1A. That will be on 107.5 FM. Those games coming up from Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines tomorrow. So you and Button's going to talk to Ironside tomorrow.
Yeah, as you were in Des Moines, we'll talk to Mark about the Big Ten wrestling tournament coming up this weekend. We'll go over a lot of the games that we just talked about and how they impact Iowa in the Big Ten tournament and beyond.
Indeed. So that'll be coming up on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. We'll be back with you coming up on Thursday as well. And Mark, have a good night.
See you soon.
All right. Stay tuned. Todd and Alex coming your way next on KGYM. We'll talk to you tonight with Washington and Cedar Falls.
Good morning, privates.
Good morning, Drill Sergeant.
I mean, seriously, what a pleasant morning. The sun is shining and the birds are chirping.